My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. I praise the dear Lord who has cast everyone down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation, I am now released, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea.
Well, that's low, I'll tell you that. what an honor to be here. You know, I'm not trying to have some kind of false humility. I am honored to be here. I'm going to preach to you today a very verse probably everyone in here is memorized. And I just want to, but I've been having this on my heart. I'll be honest with Brother Danny, but since the last time I preached here, I don't know why I got the thought, but I've had it, and I thought, I've got to preach that. And this is the first time I preached this message, so pray for me. I don't forget part of it. I'm turning 82 years old, you know, and I was talking to one of the sisters back there, and Brother Ben, Terry's son's name is Ben, and they're one of we support by the. This is all by the glory of God. I mean, this has nothing. Oh, Brother Paisley, he must really be an administrator of missions. Yeah, this really happened. This is a couple of weeks ago. I've been on the radio so long. I've been on the radio for 48 years in our town. You know, you don't know who you're talking to. You know, we have six radio stations, and we're getting ready to start three more. And now, by the way, if you want to get a radio station going, let me just throw this in. Give us a call. I got a guy on our staff. He's a genius. He's got an IQ over 165, and he's a walking electronic genius. And he'll build you a radio station. He'll get you on the right track. So give us a call and see me afterwards if you're interested. But I go to the cheapest places in town to buy gas. You know, even though the church pays for my gas, I don't want to pay no $4.50 for a gallon of gas. And so I was in there, and I go to the dirtiest truck stop. Now, I don't mean pornography or anything. I'm just talking about, is this flat dirty? And I go in there, you know, and I give them my credit card. And listen, it embarrassed me to death. It really did. It embarrassed me to death. So what you do, and they give you discounts after discount. And I thought, man, that's where I want to go, you know. So I go in there and I give them my card, and I said, I'm going to pump seven. I know where I always go, pump number seven. And so I went out there. I came back in, and then they read off your credit card, and they read your name. So this guy I knew, he had been to our church. He said, John Paisley. Well, there was a guy standing in line, and he said, Brother Terry, he said, John Paisley. You know, he said it out loud. And he says, and he turned to me, and he says, are you John Paisley? And I said, yes, sir, that's who I am. He says, I've been listening to you for over 20 years on the radio. And then he said this, honestly, I could have crawled under the counter. He said, I didn't know I was going to meet a celebrity today. So, Brother Denny, I went over to him. I said, come here. Let me tell you something. No, you didn't meet no celebrity. You know what you meant? A sinner saved by the grace of God. That's what you meant, brother. Listen, let me tell you something. We're nobody. He's everything. That's what we're talking about today. The Bible says, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. I'll tell you, Ben Angel is a blessing. Buried a baby on the field, or not on the field here, but the baby died in Madagascar 7 years ago. Listen, these missionaries, they're the real deal. The real deal. Now look what it says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I love this kind of passage that God gives us here. And let's pray. Father, you know me, Lord. I don't have to tell you anything. I'm just honored to be here and thankful to be here. Thankful to be alive, to be honest with you, Lord. And I pray that you'll bless this truth that we talk about when you tell us here, do all to the glory of God. You didn't say do half things to the glory of God, 75% to the glory of God. You made it so simple for guys like me. Do all for the glory of God. So, Lord, help us as we talk about that. How can we do all to the glory of God? And we'll thank you for it, give you all the praise for it, and thank you for your mercy and grace to this old guy's life. And I'll thank you for it forever and ever. I know we'll, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, speak to our hearts from the word today. Amen. I like verses like this. It just lights me up. You see, I've had 7 years of college, and people say, well, I want you to know I went 7 years of college. So what? It doesn't make you any smarter. And I like verses like, do all. I can do that. I can get a hold of that one. Yes, sir. I can get a hold of that. Do all. You know what that means? That means do all. Do everything. To the glory of God. You say, come to church, do it to the glory of God. I mean, whatever you do, go out to eat, do glory to God. And I could take the rest of the day and just shout that out. Do all to the glory of God. I can get a hold of that. I can get a hold of that one, boy. That's a good one. And then I think about what, you don't need to turn to this verse, you know it. He says why he's created us. Now, see, I want to know why I'm here. There's one reason why I'm here. Listen to what he says. For I have created him for my glory. That's what it says in Isaiah 43. So, I mean, and you, I'm not going to take the morning and just repeat the glory of God, the glory of God, the glory of God. But let me tell you something. There's a lot in the scriptures about the glory of God. He made us. He made us. And thank God. And you enter into the Lord by giving praise to his name. There was a famous composer. I'm not into classical. I am in somewhat classical music. I like Handel and some of the more Christian men that wrote these great musical pieces. But there's a fellow named Joseph Haydn. And this is in history if you study it. 1808, he wrote a beautiful piece of music called The Creation. And he was in Vienna. That's where they played that music. They had a big orchestra, and the audience, I mean, greeted the old man with such enthusiasm. He was up in age, and when the orchestra and the chorus arrived to the climax of the music, they all stood up and started clapping. Now this guy was very bad health. And he started going from his wheelchair. He was going, you know, and he got up. And when he stood up, he just did like this. That's all he did. And he was giving glory to God. It wasn't him. It was God. I mean, do all to the glory of God. He died shortly thereafter. The last thing that he'd ever done was give glory to God. I mean, thank God, do all to the glory of God. Everyone who's called by the name of Jesus, we are to do all for his glory. Now, let me give you just three things tonight. Three things today. I think we've got 3-point messages. Everyone else is preaching. But I like the number three. The number three is a picture of God. You know, and I think about when we talk about these things in the scriptures, you see them. You know, first of all, let me define the glory of God. Let me tell you what happened. Some of you know my children, my two girls. They're very musical, and the oldest one, who's 53 years old, she married an evangelist about 20 years ago, and the wedding was something. I've never seen a wedding like that. I didn't go to any of the rehearsals. We did go to the last rehearsal, and I told my wife quietly, I said, listen, I wouldn't be able to preach this thing if I hadn't come to this rehearsal. This thing, I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, listen, Princess Di's wedding held nothing. We had up in the balcony, trumpeters, 8 trumpeters in the balcony. And we had a senator from Alaska, Mark's from Alaska, and his name is Mark Rogers, and he flew down, and we had, church was packed. It was 112 degrees, and we have those heat spells once in a while. And and we had violins over here on this side, you know. And I honestly, I've never been to a wedding like that. It was my own daughter's. And I said, listen, how in the world do you think all that stuff up? Hey, doves around the church. That's ridiculous, you know. You know, you're trying to preach and you hear the doves cooing on the outside of the church. And but I'll never forget, we got a lot of missionaries out of our church. We got, I think, almost 100 missionaries out of our church. And one of the young ladies who's a missionary to Israel, been over there for years. And she was down playing the piano, excellent and music musician. She was so good. Her name was Rachel. First name was Rachel. I'll say that so nobody, if they hear this tape or something. And Rachel, she was there, and she had a tear in her eye, you know. And she said something that gave me a new outlook. This is 20 years ago. A new outlook to the what it means to glorify God. I'd never heard this before. I mean, I should have heard it, but I didn't. And she, and sweet lady, sweet girl. And she said, Pastor. And I said, yes, I went by, my wife and I, she was still living at the time. And she, my wife and I went by and said, Rachel, you do such a beautiful job on the piano. Thank you so much. You really was just what we needed here. We had, I think, 5 piano players. It's a crazy thing. And she looked at me, and she had a smile on her face. A sweet girl. She has 7 kids now. And I said, she looked up to me, and she said, Pastor, can I say one thing? I said, sure, you can say anything you want. And she said this, Pastor, this wedding sure made God look good. And I thought, oh, I've never heard that before. This wedding sure made God look good. And that stuck in my heart, Brother Danny. You know what glorifying God is? Is making God look good. You know? I mean, it's not, folks, it's, I say this more than any one thing. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's like, I appreciate the message, by the way, preached. Thank God. Hey, it's not about us. You know what it is? All about Him. All about Him. So how can we do it? Okay, let me give you the first point. You glorify God by prayer and praise. Okay? Glorify God by prayer and praise. I mean, my soul, how important it is that we pray and we praise. Okay? You know, thank God for Brother Gibbs, our engineer. He's just working all the time, putting stations in. We have 6 stations now. I'm getting ready to put another 3, trying to buy another 3 stations. And I thought to myself, they think that we, okay, now, they think that we had something to do with this thing, Brother Terry. Let me tell you, all Him. Let me tell you how our radio station started. Now, we got a big network of radio stations. Oh, I mean, we're even looking at starting one in Texas. Sorry about that, Bro Smith. We're coming Texas way. Pampa, Texas. Anyway, we started these radio stations, but let me tell you how the radio station got started. Okay? I'm being very kind because she's a wonderful woman. Stacy, you may remember, Stacy's out of our church, and she was educable slow. Her name was Patty Bartol. You remember Patty Bartol? Yes, you know what I'm talking about. Patty didn't take care of herself, but she's a prayer warrior. I mean, the girl was a prayer warrior. She drove Pastor Dobson up the wall. because there was no Christian radio stations in the Tri-Cities. And so she, and I can't talk like her, but she didn't speak without having some, you could tell she was educable slow. You know, for her Christian radio station, you know, she drove the preacher crazy. She got on that thing and she would not get off of it. So she gets on that. And lo and behold, finally, one Wednesday night, we had, you know, the old time prayer meeting, still pray all the time. And he said, finally, after about a year of pray for a Christian radio station and her broken language, he said, all right, how many will pray for a Christian radio station? And show your hands up. Everybody raised their hand. Folks, listen to this. This is amazing. 45 days later, I didn't say 2 years later, 45 days later, we had a Christian radio station. They say, how? And so Pastor calls the guy over in Seattle who's selling us this low-powered, I think we had 360 watts at that time, 360-watt first radio station, 1971. And he says, okay, we got our license. And the guy interrupted Pastor Dobson and said, no, you didn't get your license. All you got from the FCC was a notice that they had received your application. That's what they said. And Pastor Dobson, like Brother Dennis was talking about Brother Dobson, he's tough as nails. He said, no, we got our station's license. Brother Dobson, you don't understand. You just don't understand. You don't get a radio station. Did you have one before? No. You don't get a radio station, and that wouldn't have anything to do with it anyway. You don't get a radio station 45 days. And they got to arguing over the phone. And so Pastor Dobson says, do you want me to read it to you? And he said, well, yeah, I'll explain it to you after you read it. Okay, so he reads a bona fide license from the FCC in 45 days. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so the guy on the other end, he says, he didn't know what to say. He said, How? He's almost on how. How did you do that? He said, we didn't do it. He did it. And he said, it's through Answers to Prayer. Our station is called KOLU, which stands for Keep On Looking Up. All we did is looked up, told the God of the universe that we would love to have a radio station. They said, really, Lord, it was Patty bugging me to death. And we finally, listen. And now, I want to tell you what happened the other day. This blew my mind. Now, you guys are in radio. Listen to this. Anyway, so we get our Christian radio station. We did a home build job, brother. I mean, and I'm one of our engineers. He's an electrical engineer, but he accidentally hooked the power up to 208 volts instead of 115 volts. And I wasn't in the station when this happened. I'd give my whole income to have seen that one. Because they have paper capacitors back in those days. This is 1971. So Dave, who's brilliant, he said, oh, you guys ready in there, Pastor? Are you ready for the initiation of the station? Yeah, we sure are, Dave. Throw the switch. It looked like the 4th of July. I mean, people were hiding under chairs. And so here comes Dave in there. He's got this sheepish look on his face, and he says, I'm sorry, Pastor. I had 208 volts to the station, not 115. That's why those things went off like firecrackers. And it checked everything, got it right. It wasn't even the same day we put the replacement capacitors and got it going. But let me tell you what happened. This is an encouragement. I mean, this happened 4 weeks ago. Just 4 weeks ago. I'm not talking about 4 years ago or 40 years ago. Secretary, receptionist calls. It was receptionist calls. Pastor, there's a lady out here, and she's crying. This receptionist was crying. And she said, there's a lady out here, and she's just bawling like a baby. And she wants to talk to you, and can she come in and see you? And I said, of course. Yeah, I'm ready for her. Come out, bring her in. Okay. Like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. This is the rest of the story. This lady walked in, and I recognized her. And I said, now I'm going back to Patty Bartol. Patty Bartol was the impetus of this whole thing. And look what happened. Here we got a station. Now we've had a station for over 50 years, that same station. And it is brand new transmitter. I mean, everything's just working great. This lady comes in and she's bawling. And I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she says, well, Pastor Paisley, I just came by to thank you for the radio station. And I said, what is your name? And okay, this is a real American name. You ready for this? Her husband's name was Bob Brown. The wife's name was Mary Brown. Let me tell you my acquaintance with Mary Brown. Bob was a wonderful Christian man, went to camp, built stuff for camp. I mean, he was a blessing. And he died. Now, this lady, I've been to their house, I don't know how many times. I'm going to say 20 times I've been to the house. This lady would be in the house when I would come by, knock on the door. I'd walk in the door. She would walk out of the room. She was in the Worldwide Church of God of Herbert W. Armstrong. Yeah. And I'm shocked to see this lady crying. I'm thinking, man, maybe I'll get the leader to the Lord. And I said, ma'am, what's your problem? She said, she's crying to her. Honestly, I've not had a lady cry like that in years. I've not cried. These are not tears of sorrow. These are tears of joy. I said, what happened? She said, I just got saved listening to KOLU. And I got to tell somebody about it. And my mouth dropped open. And listen, this gal had gotten saved 2 months ago. Just now, 3 months ago now. And she said, I mean, she is rejoicing in the Lord. You know what I thought about? Patty Bartol. And her husband, Bob. Bob was a wonderful Christian man. Thought about Bob. And KOLU was instrumental in leading this lady who would never stay in the room when I came by to visit her. But when Bob died, she said, Bob used to listen to KOLU. This station's 50 years old. Bob used to listen to the station. I'm going to listen to it. She said, Pat Bezos, honestly, I got her on the radio. I said, you can tell this on the radio. And she was so overflowing with joy. She said, and she looked at me, I mean, almost yelling at me. She said, I am a different woman. I can't believe what's happened to me. Now listen. Here's what I said to her. I said, Mary, listen to me. Let me tell you the thing that excites me most of all about this. I'm great for your salvation. That excites me the most. But can I tell you what? I said, do all to the glory of God. I said, I wasn't by there to lead you to Christ. Pastor Dawson didn't come by to lead you to Christ. We got a nice staff, good pastors. None of the pastors came by to lead you to Christ. I said, and here she is growing in grace. She's saying to me, I don't understand it. I get questions out of the Bible, and it seems within 2 days I've got an answer off the radio. And I thought, my soul. And I said to her, Mary, let me tell you what. Only one person gets the glory for this. And she said, I know who you're going to talk about. I said, him. Boy, I'll tell you what, that was as exciting of a time that I've had in a long time. You say, why? Because the right one got the credit. You know, we got to watch ourselves. Oh, I'll tell you, we do this, and we've had so many in Sunday school, and boy, we've really torn them up, boy. That don't bring glory to God. You say, Jesus did it all. Now, he used people. Thank God for surrendered people. But those people, if they said, how in the world did we see all those people saved? I was telling one of the brethren over here, I led 400 kids to Christ one time. We had on the buses, we had 2,814. And I was directing the buses back in those days. But today, I had 400 children in junior church. That was part of it. And I couldn't lead them all to Christ. I mean, but I thought, well, I've got to, because we ain't got 400 personal workers. And I took them in the main auditorium like this, and they all were lined up in the balcony and everywhere. I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop. I couldn't believe it. These are bus kids. I mean, we got good bus kids, but these are bus kids. We got some bad bus kids, too. And I remember talking to them over there, and listen, I said, let's bow our heads, and I want you to pray, and I want us to do it from your heart individually. I want you to ask Jesus in your heart. Now, I'll give you a prayer to pray, but that ain't just because you repeat what I say don't make you safe. You've got to mean it from your heart. Probably the greatest day of my life. I led 400 people to Christ in one auditorium, and everybody got saved except for the workers. And I thought to myself, my wife came back and says, where you been? I said, I've been in the auditorium. What are you doing? I'm leading kids to Christ. She said, how many was in there? I said, 400. She said, good night. Praise the Lord. That's amazing. What am I saying is, it's not about us. All we got to do, these men, they've been around, they know, is surrender ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of God, Lord of Lords, and say, God, Lord Jesus, I'm telling you, I can't. Let me tell you a little passage out of the Old Testament. And I could go on the rest of the day about this, but I'm not. But I think about Solomon when God chose him. He said, I want you to be new king. You know what he said? I am but a little child. I don't know how to come in or to go out. Now, brother, that's encouraging to me. You ever been those times, you know, you got this heavy counseling session, you're saying, dear Lord, I'm sure going to need your help on this one. I mean, I've not been down this trail before. And then you they leave, and you say, man, that's pretty good. Not bad for a dumb kid. What am I saying? Folks, if we did that every day, you know, first prayer I pray in the morning. Not because I'm some kind of spiritual guy. Good night. I pray it because I'll mess up if I don't pray it. Lord, I want to ask you one thing. It ain't going to be a long prayer. Sometimes I might get a long prayer, but it's not always a long prayer. And I'll say something like this. He knows this. I do it every day. Lord, I'm not asking for a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, you've taken care of me more than I deserve. I deserve hell, fire, and damnation, just like you said, Brother Wayne. Here's the one request I have. One simple request. Help this old sinner saved by the grace of God to glorify you this day. That's all I ask. I don't want any more. I mean, I'm going to pray for some people that have problems. But for me, I just, all I want to do is glorify him. Because I know what I am. I know where I came from. And thank God. Prayer and praise. Let me go to the next one. Also, proclaiming. Let me say one other thing. Let me say one other thing. This is the reason I know who butters my bread. I was an athlete, I think, from the day I was born. Give me a ball and I am fine, you know. I got saved when I was 10 years old, grew up. And my mom was, my dad was an alcoholic. He got saved when I was 12 years old in answer to prayer. And my mom, she asked me to go to a preacher's camp someday. Once you go to a preacher's camp, the young men, listen to this. I didn't want to be a preacher. I mean, that was the last thing. I wanted to play left field for the New York Yankees. I wanted to take Gene Woodland's place out there. I wanted to play for the Yankees. And I thought I was good enough to do it. Anyway. I said, would you go to this camp? They're going to have to ask you about whether you want to be a preacher or not. Well, I'm ashamed I said it this way, but Mama, I ain't going to be no preacher. I'm going to tell you that right now. So I went there. Went to the camp. I was out in the woods. I'm from West Virginia. And I was out in the woods of West Virginia, and they told us to sit down on a log and talk to God and see if we were called to preach. And I was sitting there. And Brother Carter, and I was sitting there trying to figure out why I was in the woods, you know. You know what I mean? And I said, Lord, look, I know I want to serve you, but I know you don't want me to preach. So I had to go back in, tell the pastors there in the building, are you called to preach? No, I'm not called to preach. Went in the military. Anyway, through the military and through some schooling I was going to, after I got out of the military, God called me to preach. I mean, I was doing great in the college I was in the school I was in. I was, I think, one of the top three students, and I couldn't. I used to watch those professors and amazed at how much they knew about electronics and circuitry and design and mathematics, and it got where I was saying, is Professor Brown going to heaven or hell when he dies? So I go down. Mothers, this is for you, mothers. Listen to this now. I go down, and I say to the dean of academic deans. I said, his name is Dean Juan. I said, Dean, I'm quitting school. And he like to drop his teeth. He said, what do you mean you're quitting school? You're one of the best students we got. I said, why are you quitting school? I said, people are burning in hell right now. And I can't sit around not do anything for it. Brother Dean, I thought I'd just get me a pile of tracks and go out and stand on the street corner. Do something. And you know, and this is the grace of God. Dean Juan was a wonderful Christian man. I didn't know that. He said, John, that's music to my ears. He said, I'm a born-again Christian. You know what God's doing to you? I said, no. I didn't really. He said, God's calling you to preach the gospel. And I said, I'm just heading for the street. I preached on the street every day just about. And with another man that God sent me that had never been to our church, came across a room bigger, almost bigger than this room, and said, I want you to go with me. He didn't know me from a holding ground. You know, And all I'm saying is, so I called my mom. And I called her and I said, Mom, I got something I got to tell you. I said, she said, what's that, son? I said, is Dad around? No, he's working. Well, I'm quitting school. You're quitting school? Why are you quitting school? If I get a little teary telling about this, because I love my mother. She said, you're quitting school. Why are you quitting school? I said, Mom, Dean Juan, I don't understand these terms, but Dean Juan says, I've been called to preach the gospel. Quiet. On the other end of the phone. She said, now I can tell you. What do you mean, now you can tell me? She said, John, I got saved in 1935. You were conceived in 1939, born in 1940. She said, I couldn't understand why God was blessing me with a child. I didn't know you were a boy or girl because they didn't have ultrasound. So she said, son, I walked around the house with my hands on my belly. And I'd pray, Lord, if this is a male child in my womb, I'm begging you to call him to preach the gospel. And she said, she said to me, you know, I did that for 9 months almost, but probably 7 months when she started showing. I said, Mom, why didn't you tell me? She said, son, I didn't want you to be a mama called preacher. I wanted you to be a God called preacher. And you know, I've been preaching the gospel for almost 60 years. And somebody say, well, who's responsible for you to preach the gospel? Him. He used my mother to vocalize it. It's all him, not about us. Let me quickly go on to the next thing. Proclaiming and publishing is another way to glorify God. I want to say to you, my brother, and these men that publish books and all the stuff that you do, thank God for Dennis Corll. You know what he does? He glorifies God. I love to give people his books. Yeah, he comes over. He'll be at our church in 2 weeks. And we'll have time. I love to work him hard when he's there. And we have a lot of fun. We really do. I mean, we really do. We have a lot of fun. But, you know, thank God that you can glorify God. And there's been all kinds of people. All kinds of people. That have been called to preach there. From Brother Corll. Reading his books from Brother Corll. But you know who he would give a credit to? I know who he'd give a credit to. And Brother Terry, the same way. Listen, if you know where you came from. Hey, listen. I'm but a little child. Lord, what are you doing? Want me to do this? I don't know anything. I'm just a little child. I don't know how to come in, and I don't know how to go out. And boy, I'm telling you, that's when God kicks in. You know why? Because he says, Brother Smith, do all for the glory of God. Don't listen. I don't care how big a day you might have. And somebody asks you, boy, that was a wonderful day, preacher. Boy, you really need to get... Just shut your mouth. It's him. All to the glory of God. Let me talk about one more thing. First of all, it's prayer and praise. Get up. Say, Lord, glorify yourself. Listen, I love this verse. If we ask anything according to his will, Brother Terry, he hears us. If there's anything God wants, he wants the glory. And it's not because he doesn't deserve the glory. He does not. Listen, every breath. I had a heart attack, had open heart surgery, almost died. And, I mean, my doctor, who's the best in town, he said, "Bud, you just about died on us." And I thought, praise God. Glory to God. You know, you could walk away and walk around your day giving glory to God every breath you take. You know what? It doesn't take a whole lot to satisfy me. You were talking about a little bit of a spell he had. He said, "I was feeling my heart up here. I could shout. My heart stopped. They had to rush me. I mean, I don't know what they did. I passed out right in front of 3 doctors and 4 nurses. And I'm just thankful. I can feel it beating." Glory to God. Glory to God. Like it's been said this morning. I mean, listen. We have no reason to complain. And then let me close with this last one. How do we glorify God? Prayer and praise. How do we glorify God? Proclaiming and publishing. How do we glorify God? Now, this is one you don't like, and I won't be long. Pain and passing. Wow. Isaiah 24:15 says, we're to glorify God, I don't like this, in the fires. That's what it says. I was married to the most wonderful woman a man can be married to. She'd been in heaven 14 years. She got terminal cancer and went through all kinds of problems. You know, Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, girdest thyself," and talked about all how strength he had there. And he said, "Behold, they shall stretch thee out in thy hands, and another shall gird thee." And it goes on and says, "This spake he to Peter, to show how he should glorify God in his death." You ever think about glorifying God in your death? Let me close. Wow. Radio station, all of our radio stations carries a program that I stay for. I don't agree with all the stuff they say, but bless God, I'm going to tell you something. I agree with what the people are doing. It's called The Voice of the Martyrs. I don't like that program. I'm telling you. And they give stories. How many's ever heard The Voice of the Martyrs? Any of you? A few of you have. Okay. Man, it's, and it gets a little, you know, I call it Muslim oriented once in a while. But listen, let me tell you what. Here's just a couple, 3, 4 stories, and it won't be long. Boys, 20 guys beheaded in Egypt. 20 guys. Cut their heads off. And so some of the guys from The Voice of the Martyrs, the guy that does the program, and some of them went down to comfort these women. So they go down. They go down to comfort these women. And these women are crying. And the guy from The Voice of the Martyrs said, "Oh, ma'am, we're here to pray for your grief." And it's just like that lady stopped by my office the other day. They said to her, to him, "These are not tears of grief." "Good night." "No, these are not tears of grief. These are tears of joy that my husbands could give their life for our wonderful Savior." Praise the Lord. Said we all bowed our heads and got right with God after that. This guy, I've been to Bangladesh. Bangladesh, we got a Burmese church. I know that area of the country a little bit. I think it was in that area. Guy was preaching on a street corner. He had his bicycle. Got some Muslims stirred up. You know what they did? Shot him in the head, slit his throat, threw him on the ground. He's bleeding to death. But there was somebody there the Lord had in place that they applied pressure to the bleeding. They were able to save his life. Took him to the hospital. He had to have a number of surgeries on his throat, number of surgeries. It's the grace of God, really. It's just the grace of God. And he was in there for 4 months, but he was going to get out. I see you shaking your head. You probably know what happened. This guy, he wasn't married. He was a street preacher. He gets out of the hospital, and he says, "Bring me my bicycle." And they did. He was able to pedal his bicycle. You know where he went? Right back to the same place that the guy shot him in the head, or the group of men shot him in the head, slit his throat, got his Bible out, and started preaching the gospel. You know what that is? That's called glorifying God, is what it is. Pain and passing. My wife, and I'll close with this. My wife, what a girl. I'm telling you. She was more fun. Listen, I still laugh at stuff we did. It was so much fun. My kids, they still, "You remember when Mom did this and Mom did that?" Okay, now you're going to think I'm exaggerating, and I'll have to give an account to God to this. Nope. Okay. She's on her deathbed. Had cancer for 3.5 years. Her doctor wasn't like an almost like Brother Joe, a Orthodox Jew. Oh man, we had Bible discussions you wouldn't believe. And he asked her, said, "Hey, I've given her the hardest chemo of anybody I ever gave chemo to." And he said, we're manufacturing the blood. Her blood, what's it called? Blood count? No, it's the stuff that manufactures. Anyway, the stuff in the bone. Anyway, marrow. There you go. Blood marrow has got to be shot. He said, "I don't see how she could stand this much hard chemo." And he said, "I'm going to order." And he'd let me go with her everywhere she went. It was so nice. I couldn't go into the deep surgeries, but I could go into this as a bone marrow biopsy, is what it was called. So I'm in there, and they got this this thing. They're screwing it in her back of her spine, pulling it out. And I'm thinking, my soul. So the report comes back. We're sitting in his office, and he's got the report. And he's looking at it, and he's going, I'm sitting right here. She's on the bed. I said, "Doc, excuse me, I'm going to interrupt you. You're making me nervous." "Not a good report?" "No, no, Pastor. It's an unbelievable report. She's got perfect Omar." I'm shocked. Perfect bone marrow. I said, "Let me give you a verse out of the Old Testament, because we always like to witness to him out of the Old Testament. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone." Wow. He said, "That's in the Bible." I said, "Yes, sir. That's in the Bible." He said, "That is an absolute medical fact." He came in right at her death. That was before the death. And he came in, and we're getting ready to send her home. He says, I want to say something about your wife." I said, "Okay." He says, he was somewhat of semi-comatose. He said, "I want to tell you, you are a blessed man." I said, "Thank you, sir. I know that." And he said, I'm going to tell you something about her. He's about my age. You're going to turn 82 in a couple of months. And he's probably 78, 79 now. He's retired. He said, I've never met anybody like your wife. I've been in this a long time, Pastor. I've been in it a long time. I've never met anybody like your wife. And he said, oh, here's what I want to say. I want to say she is a woman of valor and a woman of faith. He said, I've taken care of 14,000 patients in my career here in this area. I've never met anybody like her. And I thanked him. And he made his rounds at 5:30 in big hospital, 5:30. He'd come around. Came back the next night. And he said, I got to change something. I said, what's that? You couldn't have been kinder. He said, no, listen. We had a staff meeting at the cancer center. They had about 60, 80 people working at the cancer center. And I brought your wife's name up, and I told them what I said to you, and they got all over me. And I said, how would they get over you? You said she's a woman of valor and a woman of faith. He said, no, here's what they said. Doc, we join in with you of your appreciation of Dorothy. But she's not a woman of valor and a woman of faith. She is the woman of valor and the woman of truth and faith. And I thought to myself, wow. Okay, here's the last thing I'm going to say. I saw her in her Bible all the time, Brother Green. She's in her Bible. Love the Bible. Love the scriptures. Such a sweet, sweet Christian. And in 3.5 years of terminal cancer, I mean, the worst you can have. The doctors told us, Dorothy, you ain't going to make it. That's what they said. And we believe she could have if the Lord wanted her. It was his will. But, I mean, you say, how many times did you ever hear her complain? And I'm looking at you, and Noah, I'll give an account for this. One time. And let me tell you what the complaint was. This was 2 weeks and 4 days before she died. The kids were all home for Christmas. She died on January the 2nd. But they said, Dad, let's take Mom and go to, you know, we're dumb and stupid in some things. You know this, here's a woman that has no energy, and they want to take her to, and I was a part of it. We want to take her to the Columbia Center, the biggest mall in Eastern Washington. We went out there, and we pushed her around in a wheelchair for 2 hours. Here's the complaint. I looked down, and she's saying, John. And I said, sure, honey, what's up? She said, I'm a little bit tired. Can we go home? I thought, my soul. I said, forgive me, sweetheart, forgive me. I was not using my head. She never complained. How could she do it? Okay. She prayed first, and then she prayed, and then praised, and then she loved the Bible, and she was always writing out Sunday school lessons. And then I look at her in the pain that she was in, never complained one time. And I told the kids when I was studying on this, I said, hey, I was reading about your mom in the Bible. Really? What are you reading about? Praising God, praying to God, glorifying God. And the doctors couldn't believe it. Now, one, I want to ask you this. How you doing? I ask myself the question every morning. How you doing? You know who my worst enemy is? my worst enemy, I shave him every morning. I don't like John Paisley. He's giving me more heartache, more trouble. Honestly, I think even more so, we attribute a lot of stuff to Satan, but a lot of it's just pure flesh. That's what it is. And if we would just start saying this, Lord, help me, like Dorothy did. Lord, help me to glorify you this day. And then here's this guy, graduating class, Yale University, 40-some years ago. Tops in his class, he said. Never met a woman like that. I've taken a lot of 14,000 people, Pastor. I've never seen a woman like that. And I'll tell you what, your light will so shine before men, listen, that they'll see your good works, and guess what they'll do? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Brother Terry, how about you or Brother Denny, whoever would like to give the invitation or whatever you want to do, that'd be all right.
Let's stand. Music plays. Nothing needs to be said.